sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.
Good evening, Rita Steele.
Hello, hello, how are you guys?
The Rita of Steel.
Hey, Rita of Steel.
We should let everyone know, because Rita is on the phone, we will be taking a... Do you have anything you want to mention in the Sustaining Alive segment, please text through to 5395 and we'll pass it along to Rita and then we'll do radio. Hey, Rita. Hey.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Now, where are we headed?
A lot has happened in the little time that I've had off. I just want to make a quick mention to shout out to our country, because we have banned plastic bags or about to.
Nice one, country.
Yeah, nice one, huh? Obviously, we've got a long way to go, but it's a huge step in the right direction, and I think shows our you know, evolutionary advantage over those Australians, because they're
righteous.
Still having a big cry about having to take a plastic bag to work to reuse it.
Right.
I was over there and they were whinging and moaning about it so much. I thought, really, there's bigger problems. But this week we're going to talk about white bait.
Okay.
Yes, it's been hot in the news situations. It always seems to pop up whether or not white bait is indeed an ethical thing. Should we be white baiting these miniature fish?
Yeah, people like them in fishes.
Do they even taste good? Not really. I don't think.
Personally, I don't think they have a ton of flavour. And I stopped eating them years ago when I found out that they were endangered, and threatened. So.
But with a bit of fat and a bit of salt.
Yeah. Isn't everything yummy with a bit of salt?
Deep fry your keys, bit of fat, bit of salt. Yum.
You don't even notice the metal.
Rita, is there any sort of monitoring of the stocks, or is it commercial? Are they commercially fished, or how does it work?
Have you tried counting them? They're so small, John.
So this all came about because back in the day, everyone used to, you know, people used to go to the riverside and catch their own fish, over time, that's kind of built up to being a more and more lucrative pastime, really. So. Anyone can go out and catch white bait and sell it to a restaurant or take it home. You know, the idea is that they take it home and feed their friends and family.
Quick question. Does anybody use white bait as bait?
I don't think so. Imagine trying to put them on the hook.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. In what situation do you use white bait as bait? I mean, you're getting a slightly bigger white bait with it? Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, they do. They are juvenile freshwater fish. They're our endemic species of galaxids, and they're actually really beautiful when they grow up. Four out of five of them are threatened. Two are particularly rare.
So somebody just decided, in between the point of caviar and the real fish, this is actually a great nook for making a couple of fritters.
Yeah, totally. Well, there's stories of people filling bathtubs with them and using them to, like, fertilise land and stuff.
Would maybe lie in the bathtub and it'd be like, it eats all the parasite off and you come out all in mint condition.
Don't tell Jennifer Aniston, eh? She'll be in there.
Yes.
Yeah, so it has gone downhill for these poor little suckers. And when you think about them, they're just little babies, you know.
They're only little.
Trying to make their way back up in the world.
John, are you thinking about
it? They're not getting managed. There's no... It's just kind of the Wild West, basically. You can catch them, sell them to anyone you like. No one monitors how many you catch.
Absolutely. Okay. And in fact, you know, there's no one even monitoring tax on any income on them. So, you know, you could potentially be making, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's not an area that the tax department's looking into. And just, you know, just to understand the scope of this, once upon a time, you might have had your little shed on the side of the river that you do your white baiting in, and that might have just been, you know, almost free. Now those little areas, they go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, each year. So it's kind of almost formed its own market, even, and it's not a black market, but it's certainly not a legal market either, really, because it's not being taxed or monitored or anything.
Do we know what happens if the white bait go away? What generally eats the white bait mostly? Do we know?
In studies, they've actually found that the biggest threat in terms of other species is actually the trout, which is an introduced species and has legal protection in New Zealand.
What?
But our little galaxids don't have any.
Oh,
legal
because
protection.
Trout fishing is for the spinnies.
So it's a very bizarre situation where our native species don't have any protection and an invasive species does. They have really unique life cycles as well. So if there's four, five species that make up whitebait, one of them in particular is quite cute. It lays its eggs on the side of the rivers and wetlands, and then in floods, when it floods, they wash out to sea, and then at sea they spawn, and then they come back up the river in the springtime, and that's when they're caught. And so that's quite, you know, that relies on quite a few things. Like it relies on really healthy wetlands. And it relies on floods, which, you know, bear in mind that I think at the moment 50% of our rivers are already dammed and we're looking to dam more of them. So flooding is something that happens less and less naturally as well. So there's lots of things going against these little guys, not just the fishermen. So the argument is that if the fishermen stop catching them, will it make much of an impact to the number of fish out there? And the answer is maybe not, but it will help us at least. What Forrest and Bird have called for is a moratorium on actually a catch at all. So let's just stop
for a couple
and actually
of years. Yeah.
Have a look at what the numbers look like.
Decide maybe just a normal fruit is actually what I like.
Rita, it seems like this issue pops up every year, but then I think the season is kind of relatively short, so people sort of forget about it and don't do anything about maybe changing our ways. And then it comes around again and they're like, oh, we've got a problem with this. Everyone needs to not do it. But everyone's attention span is so short that we...
Much like the whitebait.
Forget that we talked about this last year kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm an eternal optimist, so I feel like every year it does get slightly more air cover. And this year I've seen lots of people get stamp up and down and say, oh, why should we do this, not fully understanding? And that's a good sign, because it means that maybe the word is actually breaking through.
John was actually stamping earlier off air.
What was that?
John was stamping earlier off air, actually.
It's
funny
like,
you mentioned that.
Damn it!
Stamping away.
Now, Rita, is there any sort of action that I can find on the internet if I did want to follow up and maybe chime in, put my two cents on this issue? Like, is there anything before Parliament?
Yeah, totally.
You're going to need more than that, mate. Whitebait are quite expensive. Yeah. Pretty expensive if you want more.
One of the first things you can do is refuse to eat whitebait is a big one. And if you do see whitebait on a menu, write a formal complaint to the owner of the restaurant. And I've been doing this for a couple
Rita,
of years now.
You're going deep. You're going deep.
I know. I've been doing
deep.
This for a couple of years now. Sorry to you and all those fancy restaurants.
If you see it on the menu, do you get up and gap it? Or do you just sit there and wait and then, okay, I'll send them a polite email?
No, I make one afterwards. I write to them and make a formal, you know. And they always write back and they're very polite. But, you know, a lot of them don't necessarily know that these are threatened and endangered species. It's almost like having a kiwi on them. It's very bizarre when you understand.
That's a great lesson for everybody. You just fucking take, just if you got a problem, write a letter. That's vintage as hell. It's better than having a complaint at the waitress who doesn't give a shit about.
Oh, no, definitely. And she can't do much about it, or he can't do much about it. And I find if you handwrite things, people also take it slightly more seriously.
Yeah, true. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. The other thing we need to do is, if you want to help out, I mean, go to the Forest and Bird website. They've got a call to action there for a moratorium, so you can get involved on a larger lobbying level alongside them. And what they're asking for is that we halt sales and then fishing in general, and then we just to get an understanding of the numbers and also what else we need to do, so protecting the habitat.
Yeah, do we know where the iwi fits in all this? Is there any kind of traditional situations where perhaps they need it, you know, whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's worth thinking about, isn't it?
That came out of this that's long-term would have to include customary rights. And obviously, Forest and Bird work really closely with iwi around the country. So, you know, they'd be working with them. You know, the thing about iwi, though, is that they do tend to want to protect species. So they're actually very good custodians of the land. And, you know, they will also, they are also seeing the same declines. I mean, we're talking 3 years before two of these species are completely extinct. So we don't have a lot of time. So they're, you know, getting on board at that level as well.
We've had a couple of texts, Rita.
Mm-hmm.
Someone first come out the gate with a brag. Just had a feed of whitebait on sat. Caught, not bought. Tasty. How did you prepare it? I mean, I just find that I just have no flavor. I don't see the flavor at all. And what's that other one, John? There's a bit of a paragraph there. It looks like somebody knows a recreational whitebait guy.
He says the big commercial operators take multiple tons of whitebait to freeze and store. Wait for the price to go up due to scarcity, then sell it for top dollar.
That sounds classic. Land banking.
Not surprised.
Oh, well, that's a depressing little thing to end on, but I tell you what, human nature always just seem to creep into these sustaining alive conversations, don't they?
Yeah, look, you know, I think anyone that's going out just to get a feed for themselves is definitely not the major problem here.
I respect that actually a lot more than in old mate freezing a shitload in his grunty freezer and then just coming out with his fisherman hat on when the time's right.
Totally, totally. But let's see, I think this time next year we'll see some serious action on this, so hopefully it'll be one of those plastic bag moments.
Okay, good. Cool. I think and maybe next week we can sort of delve into this plastic bag situation, because it's obviously not the end of it, and we need to figure out what we're doing with the rest of our plastic
as well. Yeah, it's all the plastic, not just the plastic bag at the supermarket,
yeah,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
what you're putting in the plastic bag at the supermarket.
Yeah.
Fucking can't recycle shit, and China doesn't want it anymore, and what are we doing?
Exactly. That's an ongoing problem.
Hey, thanks, Rita. Thanks for for touching base. And we will catch you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.